real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You guys might laugh at me for this next take. It feels very similar to the one that I had a couple of weeks ago when I was driving to get some food, and then I realized that I was right next to the 119th and Nall location where the Royals are thinking about moving, and then it kind of hit me. This is actually a really bad place to put the stadium. Like, I just never really put two and two together until I actually had driven past the location. I don't really go over there a whole lot. I'm at the Royals game yesterday, and I'm there with friends that just don't really keep up with the Royals, but everybody likes baseball in some capacity. You go out there, you get a beer, they're dollar hot dogs. We ended up getting a chance to go to a suite. We're just having a great time, and they're asking me, hey, how are the Royals doing this year? And my answer was, they're okay. They're all right. Like, oh, okay, you know, hey, that's better than they normally are. And I'm thinking, you know what, you're right. I got to keep this into perspective. You are right. This is better than what the Royals normally are. So I don't know what led me to do this, but when I was getting ready for the show today, I just typed in MLB standings. I just wanted to see where the Royals were. I hadn't looked at them in a couple of days. So the Royals, they are 34-33. They are 9.5 games back in their division. I think it is very safe to say the Royals are not going to be winning the American League Central. Now, maybe you'll call me a Debbie Downer, but the Tigers are 20 games over 500. The Royals are one. The Tigers are plus 94 in run differential. The Royals are minus 17. So the Royals are just an average team. So you know what? I don't need to look at the American League Central standings anymore. It doesn't matter. They're not winning the American League Central. And then I went over there and then I clicked on wild card. I just wanted to see where the Royals were at in the wild card. I hadn't spent too much time looking at it. And you know what, Rob? They're only a game and a half back in the wild card. And then, I don't know, it was like a light bulb went off. And again, you guys might laugh at me. Oh, they expanded the playoffs for average teams like the Royals. They felt bad that so many cities felt like they were out of it. I mean, back in the old days, back in the normal days, you know what we probably would be doing? We probably would have moved on to football by now. We'd have moved on to football, Rob, or typical summer foolishness. Every sports talk show does it. the summer, there's less stuff going on. You just start making up stuff. I mean, you got 20 hours to fill. So you start coming up with stuff and doing stuff and coming up with songs and all kind of nonsense that you do in the summer. That's part of the fun of being a sports talk radio host. But you know what you're doing in Kansas City? You know what you're doing in Seattle? You know what you're doing for the Los Angeles Angels, who have been average for basically an entire decade? You start to think big. You start to talk about the trade deadline and getting that one piece that could help your offense, even though we are almost at the 70-game mark for the Royals. And if anything they've shown us, it's that their offense is bad. It doesn't matter if Michael Massey is playing or not playing. It doesn't matter if you call Jack Caglione up or don't call him up. It doesn't matter if MJ Melendez is here or not here. Their lineup has been bad now for 3 months. That doesn't matter because they got a chance. And that's what expanding the playoffs, that is what expanding the wild card is. It is giving the mediocre teams like the Royals a chance. It gives you hope. It gives you a reason to stay engaged. It gives you a reason to believe. Maybe the Royals catch fire. I don't know. I feel like we've been waiting on that for 2 months, and they caught it for a little bit, and then they went back to being the Royals. Maybe they'll catch fire. One of these teams is going to catch it. Maybe it's Minnesota. Maybe it's Cleveland. Maybe it's Seattle. Maybe the Angels. I mean, I doubt it. Angels haven't caught fire since they had the rally monkey, but maybe they catch fire. But it just hit me out of nowhere. Oh, that's what the wild card is for. One of those playoff spots just goes to the most average of the bunch. You don't got to be the Yankees or the Tigers. You know, those teams can win the World Series. They're playing a little bit of a different game. This is just the, hey, can you guys make it in? We want to make baseball fun for you guys too. That's what they did. They wanted to make baseball fun for everybody. They wanted to make it fun for me and for you. Not just a fan in Detroit. Not just a fan in LA for the Dodgers. They wanted to make it fun for everybody, and that's what they created this third wildcard spot was, so we can watch a competition between the Twins, Royals, Guardians, and Mariners to find out who's going to be the most average of those four teams.
So, on the one hand, I agree with you, but I'm torn here because a part of me, and it's a large part of me, hates that all sports are expanding their playoffs. It sucks. I legitimately don't like it. The NFL at 7 now is bad. I don't know how to say it differently. It's bad. Baseball with the 3 wild cards is bad. It's not good. Basketball at 12 of the 15 teams in each conference making the playoffs basically with the play-in games and all these things is bad. I don't like any of that. The playoffs should mean something. So that's a large part of me feels that way. But as you were sitting there explaining it and you were going over the teams, a part of me felt like this is baseball throwing small markets a bone. Because if you didn't have 3 wild cards, do you know what the top teams in both leagues would probably look like? The biggest spenders. Let's look at all the top teams across baseball that in the traditional, hey, you have to win your division way would be in. The Mets, they have Juan Soto, who's worth $1 billion. They just bought him. The Dodgers, who are kind of spending money, but deferring the payments, but kind of not spending money, but they spent a ton. The Cubs are really good this season. You know what the Cubs aren't short on? Cash. The Yankees this offseason brought in, lost Juan Soto, but brought in Max Fried and Cody Bellinger. That's just a level of finance the Royals can't keep up with. Detroit. When Detroit has been good at baseball, they have outspent the division by a wide margin. It has been that way always. Houston is a big market. They have more money to spend out west. So you're right. The third wild card is rewarding mediocrity, and it's a plague that has hit every sport. But in baseball, where we don't have a cap and we don't have a floor, it gives teams like the Twins, Guardians, Royals, a puncher's, the Rays are in the fight. It gives them a puncher's chance. So I'm that Larry David gif. Like, a part of me is like, it's bad, but a part of me is like, it does give a small market team a puncher's chance, because if you didn't, the Royals would be every year 500, and then eventually the Yankees would just poach their best players, which is what happened with the economics of baseball in the 90s.
Yeah, and that part I certainly get. That part I get. That part all makes sense to me. Someone on the text line sends this out. CDOT, that's not fair. The Royals were a wild card team in 2014. They were fun to watch in the postseason. The Royals that year also won 89 games. The A's won 88 games. Let's be honest. We've been watching the Royals now since the middle of March. You think the Royals are winning 89 games this year? Is that the feeling you get when you watch this Royals team? Now, sure, maybe the Royals can get hot. I feel like we've been sitting by the door waiting on the mailman. The mailman ain't come yet. We've been sitting here saying we could take some of the takes that we had when you guys were adamant. Oh, it's too early. How can you say that? Come on. You can't say, you would never say that in the second quarter of a Chiefs game. We could take those same takes from March 27th, and they're still applicable today, and it's June 11th. The Royals' offense is bad. I don't think their offense in 2025 is really coming around. The Royals have scored three or fewer runs in half of their home games. Half the time that you go out there, you got to expect the Royals just aren't going to score tonight. Yesterday, they're just not going to score. That problem has existed this entire time. So I'm not here to be Debbie Downer. I'm just here to be the Royals. We kind of make the Dolphins analogy. I don't think they're the Dolphins. You know what they are? They're the 9-8 NFL team that's going to get in, possibly, because they added that super wild card weekend. You remember whenever the 1 and the 2 seed would get the bye? And it was like kind of cool to get the bye. Well, then they had to change it up because they needed to make more money. So then the 2 seed, the Chiefs, they now got to play a home game. And then they get that home game to beat up on Miami in front of everybody. They get that home game to beat up on the Pittsburgh Steelers when all of us know, hey, that team's not that good. We see that happen. Or that 8 seed in the NBA playoffs where you're thinking, okay, they're the Memphis Grizzlies last year that just got smoked by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, oh yeah, you guys are just going to get run off the court. The Royals are just average. The Royals are not great. They're not bad. They're certainly better than what they were. The Royals are a team that you go out there, you'll get a hot dog, you'll get a beer, you'll enjoy the weather, and then maybe they win, maybe they won't. But we're almost at the halfway point. We're not that far away from the halfway point. We are, what? We're 2 weeks away from the halfway point in the baseball season. They've played 67 games. So, yeah, we're about 2 weeks away from, we've seen half of the Royals' games. There's two things that have been consistent. The Royals can pitch. The Royals can't hit. I haven't really seen much that would tell me that that is going to change anytime soon. Now, maybe they go out and they make a move, but is that not the argument that we make about teams that, hey, you know, you're kind of hovering around 500. You're kind of hovering around. You're maybe in it. You're maybe not in it. Are you going to convince yourself that you're in it and maybe overspend to try to end up being a wild card team? I mean, that's what this third wild card was created for. To your point, Rob, it was created to give small market teams more of a hope, more of a belief. If you look right now at the who is in contention for that third wild card spot, it's Minnesota, Cleveland, Kansas City, Seattle. Meanwhile, Toronto, Tampa, Detroit, the Yankees, those are the teams that are going to win their division. And then Minnesota, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Seattle are fighting for the last wild card spot. So, I mean, the goal of it has worked to make it relevant in more markets, to get more teams engaged, to get more teams fired up about the trade deadline. We've seen a lot of Royals baseball games. I'm not sure if the Royals are good, but I know the Royals aren't bad. They're just the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's. where America shops for furniture.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome back into the show. We'll keep talking Royals baseball. C-Dot, you have to remember that the Royals were 48-46 going into the 2014 All-Star break. You're right, the offense is bad, and wildcard teams don't usually fare well, but they could still hit a hot streak. Yes, you are 100% right. And I don't want anyone to take what I'm saying that I am burying the Royals. They're not out of it, but we're almost halfway done with the season. At some point, you kind of just are what you are. And to me, if we are using some of the greatest outliers in the last 20 years of sports, like if you're going to tell me, well, I mean, you could be 9-7 and make the Super Bowl. Look at the Giants. Yeah, you're right. I can give you a bunch of examples of if your team finishes 9-7, you're not winning the Super Bowl. You know what happens? You usually lose to a team like the Chiefs. You usually lose to a team like the Eagles. That's what eliminates you. So if you're a team that's 500 around August, usually you're going to be a 500 baseball team. Like, we're using the 2014 Royals as an example and not acknowledging that it honestly might be the most improbable run in baseball in the last 50 years. The Royals were an average small market team on August 1st and went to Game 7 of the World Series. Like, when we say once in a generation, LeBron's incredible. They haven't made a LeBron since. That's what once in a generation looks like. There aren't a lot of 2014 Royals teams just walking around baseball. There's not. So, again, I'm not here to tell you to give up on the Royals. I don't think there's any reason to. I'm looking at the division race. The division race, I just don't have any reason to believe that the Royals are going to be better than the Tigers this season. We're almost halfway done with the year. They're 10 games back of the Tigers. So right now we're looking at the wild card. And the wild card, they got a chance of making the playoffs. They have a chance of making that third wild card spot that was created for teams like them, teams that are hovering around 500. Minnesota is 35-31. The Guardians are 35-32. The Royals are 34-33. The Mariners are 500 at 33-33. All four of those teams are within two games of each other. One of those four teams is going to make the postseason. One of those four teams will likely get hot at some point in the second half. Can that team be the Royals? I'm going to guess, Rob, just guessing. 85 wins probably get you that third wild card spot. You probably got to win 85 games to get that last wild card spot. You probably got to win 88, 89 to get the first or the second one. 85 probably gets you that third one, 85, 86.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the number. And this is why I said that in the last segment, it's like that Larry David gif for me. I don't know that 85-win teams should be playoff teams. I don't know that 84 might get it done with, you know, this year. Like, it could. I could see a scenario where you get to 84 and 78 and you're a postseason team. That's basically what the 2003 Royals were, and that team should not be a postseason team. It's like, that's one part of me. But you're right. They are still very much in the hunt. We're going to talk about them in about a month's time being buyers at the deadline, or maybe a little bit of buying, a little bit of selling, because they are still in the hunt. And Rob Manfred and the powers that be in MLB are getting their way, because you're not seeing a massive, you know, sell-off across baseball at the deadline. You're not seeing people just try to trim and add prospects and give up on July 31st. You're seeing, hey, this race matters in towns like Tampa, Kansas City, Seattle in July, August, September. That's good for the sport, and I think that number is 85, but I still, even when you say it, it hits my ear weird. 85-win team should be a postseason team? That just feels a little bit icky to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say, and maybe the starting pitching, and we can move on, because I actually do want to talk about this Reggie Jackson thing. It sounds like Matt Evans of Channel 9 is going to be on the show coming up in a little bit. Like, this 2025 team, if they're going to get hot the way that you think they could get hot, a couple of things need to happen. They need to get good at something offensively, and they need to get healthy in their rotation. You aren't getting hot without Cole Reagans. You aren't getting hot without a great Seth Lugo. You aren't getting hot now with Lucas Erceg coming back. Like, they also got to get healthy, I think, in order to go on that run that you think that they could. Coming up in a little bit, Matt Evans is going to join us on the show. Let me make this point really quickly. Patrick Mahomes lives like a really, really cool life. He was at the game yesterday. I'm sure you saw him. Was sitting right behind home plate. He and his wife, looked like his friends were there. Looked like they were all having great times down there. Looked like it was a lot of fun. I want you guys just to think about this. You know how good at something you have to be for Reggie Jackson to come down to where you are? I'm assuming a lot of people go out of their way to go meet Reggie Jackson. I mean, he's one of the most famous living baseball players. He's Mr. October. There might not be a cooler baseball nickname than Mr. October. Think about that. They've been playing the World Series for over 100 years now. There's one person that has the nickname of Mr. October. That's you. Everybody likes Reggie Jackson. Who doesn't like Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson was in a suite. It looked like the suite was a lot of fun. The owner of the Royals was in the suite. George Brett was in there. I'm assuming George is a lot of fun to hang out with. He seems like a really, really fun person to hang out with. Reggie Jackson leaves the suite area, which is like 300-something, right? That second little club level. He then goes down all the way. He didn't go to like the regular seats. He went down to the Crown Club seats. You got to take a little bit of escalator. You got to take a little bit of a walk. He then goes out there to meet Patrick Mahomes, and I'm assuming he asked Pat to take the picture. You don't walk all the way down there and then Pat's like, hey, can we take a picture? No, I went down there because I want to take a picture with you. You know how good you got to be to do that? You know how amazing at something you got to be for Reggie Jackson? How old do you think Reggie Jackson is? 60? He took a little bit of a hike to get over there to go meet Patrick Mahomes. He took a little bit of a journey to go over there to go meet Patrick Mahomes. He walked all the way down there, had his little ice cream cup in his hand just to go meet the best quarterback in the National Football League. That's juice. That's real celebrity. That's real superstar cachet. We talk about a lot, oh, this guy's a superstar. Reggie Jackson ain't going out of his way to go meet that person. In fact, Reggie Jackson does not know who that person is. He went down there to go take a picture with Pat and then posted it on social media like a fan. That's what being a superstar is. Rob, that's going to be the new level that we're going to start having. Do you think that Reggie Jackson would take a picture with this person? Because if the answer is no, then you're not a superstar. That's what being a superstar is. He goes out of his way for you and him to take a picture together.
I mean, the idea that Reggie Jackson was in the suite with, I assume, a lot of people who are fawning over Reggie Jackson. He looks up at, what was it called, Crown Vision, and sees Patrick Mahomes there. Because, by the way, Crown Vision showed Patrick Mahomes early. They weren't going to let you, you know, go get a hot dog or anything before they told you, hey, Patrick's here. It was early in the game. Reggie saw that, took his little ice cream cone, and headed down to go see Patrick Mahomes. That is an impressive level of fame for Patrick Mahomes. And there's photos all over the internet of it. It's got to be cool for both people, because we know this about Patrick. We talk to Patrick once a week in the fall.
Patrick loves baseball.
Patrick loves baseball. His dad played baseball. don't get me wrong, Patrick loves playing football, but I think if you ask 12-year-old Pat, he wanted to play baseball. So to hang out with Reggie Jackson was probably just as cool for him as it was Reggie to meet Patrick.
Reggie Jackson actually did an interview about meeting Patrick Mahomes. Here's what he said.
You know, I was in the stadium last night, and I'd asked John Sherman, I said, where's Patrick sit? He said, well, he's down there sitting next to George. Well, George, I was with George for about 6 or 7 innings, and he left me. But he was down there, and I said, I want to go down and see him, say hello. You know, the great player, great person, great leader. And I like what he represents. He represents unity, you know, not important what community he's from, black or white. And he's both. And it's just... I'm just very proud of how he goes about his stature and how he has a wonderful image and what he does for community here. And so he's worthy of a handshake and worthy of a pat on the back saying thanks a lot for what you do.
I'm being serious. I don't know if you can get a higher honor than Reggie Jackson saying that about you. I was just looking through Reggie Jackson's, like, his baseball reference page and what he's acquired or accomplished in his life. He's made the All-Star game 15 times. He was part of 5 World Series team. He won the American League MVP. He led the American League in home runs 4 times. He's one of the greatest living baseball players. He is a fan of Patrick Mahomes and went out of his way. This wasn't like he was in the next suite over. He went from the 300 level down to the club level to take a picture with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what being a superstar is. And then, I mean, just he could not have spoke more glowingly about Patrick's personality and who he is and what he embodies. That's a really, really cool moment. On a night that didn't really have a lot of cool moments, that was one of the cooler moments that happened yesterday out at Kauffman Stadium. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Matt Evans. He is in Jeff City. We have seen the Missouri House and Senate both pass the stadium funding bill. Matt, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Carrington?
Doing fantastic. Happy to have you join us today. All right, give us the lowdown. This thing passed. It seemed like it passed relatively easy. There was a little bit of pushback, but not enough pushback to not get this thing through.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They actually lost 13 votes on it after they took a vote in the House at the end of the regular session. So they did lose some votes. It wasn't a slam dunk by any means, but it did get through with more votes than the cushion was in the Senate. The Senate passed by a single vote on the House side. It passed by about 8 votes. So certainly it gets passed through the House as was expected. It was an easier road than the Senate, but still plenty of debate on the House floor. And there were a lot of lawmakers who said, I don't like this or I don't like this about the bill, but I'm going to vote for it ultimately, because I think it's too important that we put up an offer to counter against Kansas to not lose these teams across the state line. So now this bill heads to the governor's desk. He has indicated he's going to sign it. It was his plan, so he's probably going to sign it pretty quickly. And then it's going to be up to the teams to decide what they want.
What ultimately got this done, in your opinion? Because, I mean, this didn't get done in a regular session. They had to call a special session to get this accomplished. What do you think ultimately got this through?
Well, really, it was probably the negotiations done by Governor Mike Kehoe that got this thing across the finish line. You know, I think when we talked last week, I said this thing really faced an uphill battle in the Senate, which is where it died during the regular session. And there were a lot of senators that wanted a lot of things on this bill, and they got that. The governor amended his call for a special session. They were able to get some property tax reform on this bill that included several counties, but did not include Jackson or Clay County, which that's a whole other story and might be addressed with another special session this coming September. But all of these things that he was able to add on to this bill, property taxes, the amateur sports credit, also a little bit more funding for disaster relief was in this bill, too. So you put all of those things into this pot and tack it onto this bill, and that gave enough people enough reasons to vote yes for it to get it across the line.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans with Channel 9 News, getting his thoughts on the stadium funding bill that has been passed in Missouri. I mean, now comes the very obvious question of what's next. Let's kind of break it down individual team by team. Let's start with the Royals. What is next for the Royals?
Well, they need to make a decision, Kansas or Missouri. The Kansas Star Bonds proposal expires on June 30th. that is in less than 3 weeks. Kansas legislature, both the Senate president, Ty Masterson, and the House speaker there, Dan Hawkins, has said they do not plan to extend that Star Bonds proposal, which would pay for up to 70% of a new stadium for the Royals or for the Chiefs. So both teams need to decide what they're going to do. Now, if the Royals decide to stay in Missouri, they have to decide even more because they'll need to choose between Jackson County and Clay County. And there are certainly positives and negatives to both. We know the Clay County location would likely require another public vote. The Jackson County one likely would not. So certainly they are weighing those options. But first, they got to decide Missouri or Kansas. They did release statements, both the Chiefs and the Royals did today. Not a lot of information in there, but also lobbyists from both teams told lawmakers earlier this week and last week that the teams will make a decision by the end of this month. Now, whether or not we know what that decision is going to be remains to be seen, but I think the Royals certainly are going to make a call here pretty quick.
This is just pure speculation. This is just me trying to read in between the lines. I'm not reporting anything. It feels to me that the Royals are looking for every reason to stay on the Missouri side. I think if you ask them in an honest moment, what do you guys want? I think they want to work with the city directly to put a stadium inside Washington Square Park. They don't need a public vote for that because it's public, because it's the Parks and Rec. I feel like that's the Royals' number one plan. They might not get their number one plan, but that's what I think the Royals really want to do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the very first interview I did with John Sherman, we asked him about downtown baseball. And even then, when he just took over the team, he talked about his favorability toward downtown baseball. What we have heard since John Sherman took over the Royals is downtown baseball, downtown baseball, downtown baseball. All these other sites have gotten into the mix because there are positives to those sites. But ultimately, as many times as we've interviewed John Sherman, as many times as he has made comments in the public, it seems like he is all in on downtown baseball. And I think you're right. I think that was ultimately their plan from the get-go. I mean, we saw the site that they chose with the crossroads with the failed vote back in April. That was downtown baseball. So I think that they still want to try to make that work. And you're right, that Washington Square Park, that could be the site for them.
Matt, let's say that the Royals aren't downtown. And let's say that in 2 weeks, let's just pick a high arbitrary head date, the Royals are in Kansas. What do you think will be the biggest reason or cause, aside from the vote failing, on why they were unable to get a deal done in downtown Kansas City?
I think it'd probably be the money. It's got to be the funding. Because we heard from the lobbyists from both the teams this week saying, hey, look, the Missouri proposal on its face is not as good as the Kansas proposal. The Missouri legislature offered up 50%, up to 50% of stadium construction or stadium renovations for the Chiefs or the Royals. Kansas offered 70%. Now, obviously, you see how you get to that 70% with a public vote or more dollars from the city if the Royals choose downtown. But ultimately, probably, if either team chooses Kansas, it'll probably be because they simply got a better offer, too. Now, this offer from Missouri, as the lobbyists have said to lawmakers over the course of the past couple of weeks, this is still a competitive offer. This is still a good offer. This still gives us at least something to consider, and we're not 100% going to jump ship to Kansas. So, I mean, I think that would be a big part of it. I mean, just think about it this way. If somebody offers you 50% off or 70% off of the same product, you know, what's one are you going to take? You probably take the 70% off one, unless there's a whole bunch of reasons that lead you to that 50% off mark. So, I mean, I think there's still negotiations. There's talks happening right now between both teams, both states, all the different entities involved. And I do think we are getting closer, inching ever so closely to at least some kind of a decision from both of them.
I mean, to be fair, Matt, are you telling me that 50% off, is that on the Missouri side or is that on the Kansas side? Because I don't know. I might spend my money on this side of state line just so I can show state solidarity.
Well, that's right. And that's a big part of it, too. Right. You know, I mean, we talked about this last week, too, is that Clark Hunt loves that Arrowhead Stadium, loves the home that his dad, Lamar, built. And there's a whole lot of history and a whole lot of tradition in that stadium. And let's be honest, the Chiefs, that organization is a tradition heavy team, a tradition heavy franchise. They care about it there. That is certainly something that Clark Hunt is talking about. And then again, going back to John Sherman's comments, talking about downtown baseball, he's not talking about downtown KCK. He's talking about downtown Kansas City, Missouri. So yeah, maybe if those are the two paths that you've always wanted, maybe if you're those team owners, you'll spend an extra few million dollars to get those stadiums where you really want them.
Yeah, you took that way more seriously, Matt, than I meant it. I don't mind driving over to Oak Park to save that 20%. I'm happily driving over to Oak Park to save that 20%.
I know there are people that are very serious about the state line rivalry. I mean, I had a friend one time that said, you know, if I get shot in Kansas, drive me over to the Missouri side. So I make sure, you know, I die on Missouri soil, you know. So, I mean, he was fired up about it. I went to Mizzou. I grew up in Missouri. I got a lot of friends that are very passionate about keeping the teams in Missouri. And we saw that in the legislature, too. Curtis Gregory, the senator that handled this bill, he played football for the University of Missouri. Every time he testified for it, he said, I've got a burning desire to keep these teams on the Missouri side of the state line.
No, and I also have that burning desire, but I'm also starting to think, Matt, maybe I'm starting to get soft because I work in Kansas and I also work with Rob. So just every day, this is what I'm just inundated with, that I'm like, you know what, man, maybe Kansas isn't that bad. Maybe Kansas is all right. It's actually not that bad over here. It's nice. The roads are nice. Maybe that's what it is. I got one more question here. All right, we talked about the Royals side of this. What does this mean for the Chiefs? Because to me, what the Royals want and what the Chiefs want are two very different things. To me, we can't really lump them together when having this conversation.
Well, that's true. That's true. Because you have to think exactly what the teams are ultimately trying to do. Now, they are similar in this, that they are trying to figure out what their path is going to be for the long term, the next 30 years. You know, the Chiefs have those two distinct options to turn Arrowhead Stadium into one of the storied buildings in the NFL, like a Lambeau Field. That's one path for them. Another path for them could be a beautiful domed stadium that brings Super Bowls and Final Fours and all sorts of different kind of huge events. That would have to be built on the Kansas side. The Royals, much more wanting to focus on development around the stadium as well. We've heard that from the ownership time and time again. It's not just the stadium, but we also want to build $1 billion worth of private investment around that stadium for that ballpark district. We haven't heard as much talk about that for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. I think they're more focused on the stadium aspect. I think that the Royals are more focused on not only the stadium aspect, but also the development around it.
That is Matt Evans joining us on the show. He's with Channel 9 News. He is in Jeff City, and it sounds like Missouri has come up with some of the money to help fund the stadiums. Matt, you've done fantastic work, man. We really appreciate this, and I'm guessing you'll be on the show at some point in the next 2 weeks because we'll have some development on this story.
You just let me know, and I'll be around, Carrington.
Absolutely. That is Matt Evans joining us on the show today. Someone just texted in, CDOT, Arrowhead is old and not going to last forever. How much longer until the Chiefs need more money to renovate or just build new? I looked this up just because I was curious. Rob, do you know when the Ohio State Stadium was built? A very popular stadium, right? The Horseshoe, we've all heard of that stadium before. It played some of the most iconic games in college football history. You want to know when the Horseshoe was built? 1922, the Horseshoe has been built. Now, they spent a lot of money to renovate it back in 2000, and, you know, it's still moving. I don't disagree with you. Arrowhead is old. No question about it. It is old. My point on this remains, if you see Arrowhead like Lambeau, then it's worth putting the money back into it. If that's not how you see Arrowhead, and you see Arrowhead as a stadium that has served its purpose, but now we want something new, we want something shiny, we want to be like almost all the other teams in the National Football League, then there's a very easy option to take. Build a new stadium. If that's how you feel, then I'm on your side, then, if that's what you want to do. If you want what the Raiders have, if you want what the Bills are about to have or what the Vikings have, they have a brand new, beautiful stadium. There's an option to take that. But if you think that Arrowhead is something historic and worth preserving and one of the football cathedrals that we have in this country, the way that we have in college football, the way that Lambeau Field is, then to me it's not really a question. You then put the money to preserve it. We don't say this about Allen Fieldhouse. Allen Fieldhouse is old. Doesn't have air conditioning. Like, there are much better stadiums to watch basketball in than than Allen. Rob, you have no interest in getting rid of it. You guys just renovated it. Yes, we want to keep putting money into this because we understand how important this place is. And there's no conversation about getting rid of it because there shouldn't be, because it's perfect just the way that it is. So my question will continue to be the same for Chiefs fans. How do you view Arrowhead? And we will find out with Clark Hunt how he views Arrowhead. This is the fork in the road. You can put more money into it to preserve your classic vehicle, or you can sell your classic vehicle and go get a 2025 Traverse. They're amazing cars. It ain't a 1972 Thunderbird. That's what the Chiefs have right now. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
A couple questions from the text line. Text line 913-586-965. Someone asked the question, what is the oldest stadium that is not in the process of getting a new one? Well, the answer is the Saints, actually. The Saints are in the business of... Their stadium was actually built in 1975, so they don't have a new stadium. Now, they have gone through two major renovation cycles. They obviously needed a reservation after Hurricane Katrina. They spent $200 million after Hurricane Katrina, and they currently are in a process of another renovation. They are in the process of a $600 million stadium renovation. So just because you do the stadium renovation back in 2005, that does not mean you are done adding to the stadium or trying to modernize it and keeping up with the brand new stadiums that they have. Now, eventually, I imagine the Saints are going to just build a new stadium at some point in New Orleans. Not really sure where they're going to build it at. I don't know their city that well like that. So, again, my question is very simple. A lot of people on the text line, well, Candlestick was more iconic than Arrowhead. Yeah, that's fine. If that's how you feel about Arrowhead, then there really isn't much of a debate. There are two options. This is like the Matrix. There's a red and a blue pill. One pill allows them to maintain the second oldest stadium in the National Football League. One option gives them a brand new, beautiful stadium and puts them on par with about half of the league, maybe more than that now at this point. I mean, if you were talking about older stadiums, Chicago in Soldier Field was built in 1924. They are in the process of moving out of Soldier Field and moving to the suburbs. We mentioned the Packers. The Packers are not moving anywhere anytime soon. They're going to stay in the building. the Chiefs. So the Chiefs have the third oldest stadium. They're now debating what they're about to do. Buffalo, their stadium debuted a year after Arrowhead. They have already come up with a new plan. They're about to build a brand new stadium. And you guys don't want to know how much the public is helping to pay for that stadium. It's in the $1 billion in public money that the Buffalo community is helping pay. I just mentioned New Orleans. They are in the middle of a $600 million renovation. Miami, you don't hear anybody talk about Miami Stadium being nice. Not a single person is like, eh, you know what, man, I really love Hard Rock Stadium. And then every other stadium aside from that was built in the 90s or more recent. So the Chiefs are just one of the few teams in the league that have an old, outdated stadium. Most of the teams that had those old, iconic stadiums that you and I heard of when we were kids, they've all torn them down and started over. Pittsburgh started over. San Francisco started over. Denver, Dallas. All of the old stadiums that you maybe went to as a kid, those stadiums are not around anymore. The Lions are not playing in the Pontiac Silverdome anymore. They built Ford Field. And eventually, I imagine they're going to have the conversation, hey, this stadium's now 20, 25 years old. We need to pump some more money into it so we can now keep up with these teams that have new stadiums, especially if the public has shown you they will continue to help pay for whatever renovations you have for their stadium. So this is just not a uniquely Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas conversation. This is if you have a billion-dollar structure the way that all of these cities have and you want to maintain it and keep it, you're going to have to put money towards it. That's just how this thing works.
I also would say, and this is my Kansas showing a little bit, if Clark Hunt and the Chiefs do pick Kansas, that's not them spitting in the face of Arrowhead's history. Like, one of the most, maybe one of the top three most iconic baseball stadiums in the history of the sport was Yankee Stadium. George Steinbrenner demolished that thing real quick and built a new one. And while the new one has a less, you know, a more corporate feel, they still have the history. They still have Legends Park out in the back. They still have, you know, the iconic, you know, view, like the architecture of it. Like, George Steinbrenner tore down Yankee Stadium. So I agree with you on the whole. Their choice is renovate and make it Lambeau or go shiny and new. But if they chose shiny and new, that doesn't mean that they don't respect the history of Arrowhead or that thing. I don't think the two are as mutually exclusive as it people think, because people tear down iconic stadiums more often than people think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say in that scenario, you just value the money more than the iconic history part of it. And I guess in some examples, you just feel like you can recreate that history. The Yankees just felt like, oh, well, we'll just make a modern version of the stadium. We want to move right next door. We don't really want to change where we are. We're going to take a lot of the things that we like from Yankee Stadium and just modernize it. Now, that's not really an option here. They're not talking about building a stadium right next to it. There really wouldn't be much of a debate if that's what they were talking about. They're talking about moving the structure across the city. They're talking about crossing a state line. If they were just talking about tearing old Arrowhead down and building new Arrowhead down, I think most people would be in favor of them doing that. That's not what the debate is, though.
That's fair. I think a better way, that's a better way to phrase it. If you tear down, it is not 100%. It's you're choosing the financial gain over the history. And you can still try to recreate the history the way Yankee Stadium did, but you will always lose that lure, that Cameron Indoor feel when you go to a new stadium. But I mean, you look around the NFL, and you made this point very clear. You look around the NFL, outside of Lambeau, and we'll push Lambeau to the side. Is there a team that has stuck it out in their building? Like, you mentioned the Saints. The Saints are a little bit different because it's a dome, and they get the Super Bowl, and they have all these things already built in as, you know, being in New Orleans. Outside of that, it ain't a lot of old, decrepit stadiums around the NFL. It's new and shiny Appalooza.
Yeah, I mean, even looking at the teams that built their stadium in the 90s, those teams are now starting to build another one. The Commanders are about to build a new stadium. They've already announced it. The Browns, they built their stadium in 1999. Their stadium is less than 30 years old. The Browns are planning on building a new stadium. They've already announced it. So even a lot of the teams that their stadium's not old, decrepit, and falling apart. I mean, you build something in 1999, you feel like it's going to last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. The Browns are already planning on moving to a new stadium. So, I mean, we're going to have this conversation again. Now, we're going to be much older when we have this conversation, but at some point, you just, you you're not going to play in that building for as long as the Chiefs have played in their building. A lot of these NFL teams, whether it's through money, whatever it is, they just decide to start over and build a completely new stadium. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Jack Caglione Day at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.